Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, and this message today on what angels are not. The Encouraging Word. Yesterday, we had a wonderful message on angels, and today, Dr. Don kind of flips that. As we move through these next couple of days, angels is a remarkable topic and something that you can gain insight, I can gain insight from, as we go to God's Word. We'll be going to Hebrews chapter 1 in just a few moments. But as we open the Word together, we ask God to give us an understanding of how this applies to our day-to-day life. As we move through day-to-day life, if you'd like to have someone talk with you, pray with you, we're connecting right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online, keyboard to keyboard, on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to invite you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 1. It's a subject that is gripping my own heart. It's a subject that I'm learning more and more about each week as I study more and more about this subject. I want you to know that God is speaking to my own heart very deeply, and I trust that He's going to do the same, and I know that He is in your own heart and life. It's very important that we go to the Word of God together, because there is so much speculation in the world today. There are so many opinions being shared. There are so many personal preferences and personal convictions. But there are very few people who are willing to stand upon the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches and the absolute truth of God's Word and His wonderful righteousness. I'm going to do something somewhat a little bit differently this morning. I'm going to kind of come at this subject from the back door. I don't know if you've done something like that. I'm sure you have. I want to come from the back door instead of the front door. Here's our subject. What angels are not? Now, English teachers, if you can say that better, I need to hear from you very quickly. What angels are not? Now, I want to give you an illustration. I have from time to time people who invite me to come out to dinner and so on, and I wish that I could do a lot more of that. Just my time and my calendar doesn't permit that so much. But I remember some weeks ago a family that were not yet members of our church, they are now, they said, "Pastor, we'd like you to come to our home and we would like you to have a meal with us." And I said, "That'd be just lovely, thank you." And I said, "I can only be there quickly, so I'm going to have to eat very quickly, but I'd love to come." And they said to me, "Pastor, what do you like to eat?" How much time have you got? I mean, that is a terrific question to ask a man of my caliber. And I appreciate that. Well, you know how I answered their question. I said to them, "Would you mind if I, rather than telling you what I like to eat, could I tell you what I don't like to eat?" I did. I told them. I just said, "Listen, whatever you do, I will not, under any circumstances, eat boiled okra." I said, "I have come to a point in my life where you have to draw the line. In fact, I am convinced, folks, that you cannot be a Christian and eat boiled okra at the same time." Now, just let's put this into perspective. They said, "Is that it?" I said, "That's it." Now, folks, to put something into perspective, it was far better for me to say what I'm not than what I am. In fact, sometimes you will get to know a person far better by understanding what they are not than what they are. That's what I want us to do with angels. I want us to study the subject, what angels are not. And there's a reason for this. We're living in a very, very explosive world when it comes to the matter of religion and spirituality. And I'm going to say to you, beloved friend, this morning, before we start going off at some kind of right angle or start deciding that there are certain things that we are or are not going to do concerning angels, we need to discover what it is that God tells us that we are not to do concerning angels. So let's begin this morning, and you're going to need your Bibles because we're going to go to many different passages. But I want to place this in context. I'm going to read to you from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 4. The Bible says, "So Jesus Christ became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, and today I have become your father'? Or again, 'I will be his father, and he, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be my son.' And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, and his servants flames of fire." What angels are not? Now, you're going to need to listen very carefully this morning and write these things down upon your heart and in your life. Number one, angels are not necessarily seen. First point, what angels are not. Number one, angels are not necessarily seen. Now, I want you to just flip a few pages over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, I want to show you something. Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm just going to read. Let me read verses 1 and 2 to put it into context, and I'm going to come back to this many times. Here, this is an exhortation. And by the way, when God gives to us an exhortation, he always includes people to whom he is addressing the subject. There is a sense of urgency here. God is issuing, in a sense, a warning that goes deep down into the hearts of those that love God. And he says this, there is an exclamation here. He says, listen, he says, "I want to warn you to keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters, and in so doing, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Now, folks, I want you to listen here. I want you to listen here because I think this is very important. What is God saying to us here? God is saying to us that angels can be visible and they can be invisible. Angels are not necessarily seen. And if you study Scripture, and as we go through during these days, we're going to discover on a scale of 1 to 10 that probably 9 times out of 10, angels are not seen. You cannot see them. But here's the catch. Even if you were able to see an angel, the Bible says you would not know that it is an angel. That's why this is a warning. Folks, here's what happens. Listen. God says that angels are not necessarily seen. And if we're going to understand what God is teaching us about angels, we've got to come to grips with that fact. We've got to understand that what God is doing for us through angels is for our benefit, but we do not necessarily have the capacity to respond in kind. Now, we're going to put that into context. Because when God begins to demand of us a response to anything that he does, he puts that in a biblical context. So watch point number two. Angels are not to be prayed to. Angels are not to be prayed to. Now I want you to just listen. You know this passage very well. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 9, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and they said to him, "Lord, would you teach us how to pray. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, this is how you need to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, folks, I call it the great American cop-out. Now, you might have noticed that these days in which we live. Have you noticed how many people in how many places are trying to avoid or circumvent the instruction of God concerning prayer? Now, we've reached an all-time low in America. We know that. From the Supreme Court on down, people are doing everything they can to eliminate God from everything that we hold dear. Can you imagine the United States of America, a nation, one nation under God, eliminating from God from everything that we hold sacred in our own hearts? Do you know that today, even from football games to stadiums, one has to be so careful? I call it the great American cop-out. Have you listened to some people pray recently? You might have heard a prayer that goes like this. One, dear God. Well, who is God? Do you know that the Muslims worship God? His name is Allah. They call him God. There are literally hundreds of thousands of gods. Do you know that in India today there are millions upon millions of false gods? Dear God, thank you for this time. Thank you for what we're doing. Thank you for that and that. Keep us safe. I hope nobody hurts themselves. Amen. What's wrong with that prayer? Let me give you another prayer. Some people don't put anything on their prayer. They just begin. Help us get through today. Bless us and thank you for this wonderful time. Amen. Now, folks, listen to me. The Bible says angels are not to be prayed to. Why does God teach us that? Because the Word of God teaches us very clearly and succinctly that we are to pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So how should we be praying? Our Father, dear God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, we worship you, we adore you, we magnify your name, and we pray all these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one who has paid the price. Jesus Christ is the one who loves us. Jesus Christ is the one who died and went to the cross in order that we might know him and that we might have life eternal. And what Jesus was teaching his disciples right there at that juncture, it does not matter what you think about it or who you think about it or why you think about it. God, our Father, is the one to whom we owe all of our praise and our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow! What an incredible thing to think about.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message on what angels are not in just a moment. But oh my goodness, the incredible things that we think about, that we ponder on. Perhaps you need more than just this moment. If you'd like to hear this message again or maybe share it with a friend, you can do so on our website, tewonline.org. I pray you jot that down as well. It's a great place to connect with resources that will help you grow. And matter of fact, one of those resources is a daily encouraging word email from Dr. Don. It comes out every morning about 6 o'clock and helps me jumpstart my quiet time. I believe it will help you as well. Again, sign up today online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Number three, angels are not to be worshipped. Now, folks, we're going to pitch our camp here for a little while. Angels are not to be worshipped. Now, I want you to turn back in your Bibles with me to the letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 1. Paul's letter to the Romans and chapter 1. I want to show you something that is of staggering proportion. Angels are not to be worshipped. Listen to what God has to say here. And I'm going to begin at verse 18, and I'm going to stop every now and again. The Bible says in verse 18 of Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, that the wrath or the anger of God. Now let's just stop there for a moment. Who is God? God tells us that God is not only a God of love and of righteousness, but he is a God of judgment and of wrath, of anger. God does not in any way tolerate anything that stands outside of the express instructions that he gives to us concerning himself and our relationship with him. Here in Romans chapter 1, Paul is putting this into context. But he's going to use one issue. And the issue that we're going to discover that he focuses on, my friends, is the issue of our worship of Almighty God. And God is about to tell us that anything that causes us not to worship God completely and fully is going to become subject to the outpouring of the wrath and the anger of God. Watch with me, stick with me here. The wrath of God is continually being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. Now, folks, let me just stop right there. We're talking about God's eternal qualities. We're talking about the divine nature, the character, the righteousness, the holiness of God, which according to the Word of God is continually being revealed unto us through his Word by his Spirit. In other words, God is saying to us, my friends, you are without excuse. God has spoken, and God has spoken clearly. What has he spoken clearly about? He has said, these have been clearly seen, being understood what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged, here it is, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. God says, hold on a minute, I want to give you a warning. I am the creator of the universe. God gives us a warning. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And here in this passage in the book of Romans, God tells us in no uncertain terms that when men begin to turn their attention and their affection, their worship, their salutation, their adoration, their veneration from who God is to any other creature, no matter who that is, no matter what that is, no matter how they look, God says something is going to happen. And here it is in verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, friends, we've got to listen to this very carefully, because God is going to zoom in on a particular sexual sin that has gripped the United States of America today. Watch what happens here. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to their shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men began to commit indecent acts with other men and then received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. What is God saying here? This is a terrifying passage. God is saying, listen, You need to go back to the book of Exodus. You need to go back to Mount Sinai. You need to go back and examine the law of God. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God. Jesus put it like this. He said, listen, when you pray, you need to fall upon your face and say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And all of this, I pray in the name of that matchless name, that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only one who has the capability and the authority and the capacity to love me despite who I am. God says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou worship. Angels are not to be worshipped. Now, I have a little problem with that. I'm just going to be honest with you, because I'm a jolly decent sort of fellow, and I like to say thank you. I love to say thank you, don't you? I think we should. It's decent and it's proper. In fact, I wish more people would learn to say thank you. I've got a problem as a human being, because I'm going to discover in the Word of God that God actually sends forth his angels to serve me the meals of life. That God is actually going to send his angels to protect my children. That God is going to be so kind to me that he's going to make a provision for me that I'm going to spend a lifetime trying to understand. Now, what is my natural human inclination? Here it is. Angels, thank you. Boy, thank you, angels. Angel, thank you so much. And the angels, in a sense, stand there and say, whatever you do, do not thank me. Thank the Father. Now, friends, listen. We're living in a world today where people are groping at straws. We're living in a world today where people say, listen, let's not get carried away. Let's not get radical with our religion. There's nothing worse than a religious person who kind of goes overboard. I mean, if we want to have our little group over here that worships angels, what's wrong with that? I mean, come on, man, get a life. What's the matter with you? I mean, it's okay, we just have a little angel party over here. And we kind of, God loves us, and God doesn't mind if we deviate a little bit. He does mind. God does mind. God's non-negotiable when it comes to worshiping God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But preacher, you don't understand, it's my upbringing. I'm just going to worship Mary. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But preacher, you don't mind. If you don't mind, it's my tradition. I'm going to worship Saint Gabriel. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is not open to negotiation when it comes to who he is. You can drive with me around South Carolina today. You see, friend, the world today is filled with personal convictions. I'm for personal convictions. I think we all need personal convictions. But there's not a member of this church, not one member of this church, who has permission to impose your personal convictions upon this congregation as absolute truth. Now, we've all got personal preferences. I have. I don't like boiled okra. That's a personal preference. Folk, their personal preferences right now. There's some people who like to sing hymns, and there's some who like choruses, some who don't like choruses, and some who don't like hymns. Some like loud music, and others like quiet music. Some like preachers who stand quietly behind the pulpit, and others want preachers who walk around and are loud and boisterous. Those are personal preferences. Not one person in this congregation has permission to impose your personal preference upon this congregation as absolute truth. And in fact, I'm going to submit to you with all the love in my heart today, friends, that 8 out of 10 of the churches in this area of God's universe are built not around absolute truth, but around personal preferences. Well, if you don't mind, I just prefer to have a little chat with angels. Don't do it. Well, you don't seem to understand. It's going to draw the crowds. Don't do it. Well, God doesn't mind if I kind of just pandy to angels a little bit. If I write books about them and tell everybody to venerate and worship angels, don't do it. Don't mess with God, because God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Are there any more questions here this morning? You don't need a deacon's meeting on this one. God has spoken. God has set it in stone. God's not negotiable about who he is and about how we worship him and where he fits into the scheme of things. God is number one. He is sovereign. He is all powerful. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And here's what he says. He doesn't just stop there. He says, you start messing around with your worship, I'm going to hand you over to your sinful desires.
What a powerful message of conviction. Maybe the Lord has stirred your heart as he has stirred mine about the importance of worship, the importance of focusing my attention on Jesus Christ. You know, now in this time of distance, some areas are getting back together, but for some of us, maybe for some of you, you're feeling disconnected. Oh, we'd love to connect with you, to pray with you, to pray for you, to help be a part of a virtual connection of a body of Christ that cares about you. Our phone number is 866-899-9673. Jot it down. Store it in your cell. We'd love to pray with you anytime, day or night. As a matter of fact, we'd love to pray with you about the most important question of all. That's what Dr. Don's asking next.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that he died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
If God's touched your heart, we'd love to speak with you. 866-899-WORD is the number. That's 866-899-9673. And we just want to say thank you to so many of you who have stepped up and said, we want to be prayerful and financial supporters of the Encouraging Word. We call you encouragers.
We are at a critical time in our nation. There is an urgency. Intolerance toward Christianity is rising. Religious freedom in America is under an ever-increasing attack like never before. Even though the number of attacks have risen, the good news is that the Word of God has not changed. Good will always triumph over evil. We cannot close our eyes and ears to what is going on in our world. Join us and become an encourager. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an encourager brochure today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. We are delivering the gospel with you and for you to others. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but we're staying connected online at tewonline.org. And this phone number, 866-899-9673.